It is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to another episode of Nosebleeds brought to you by WFUV. I am your host, Max Spitz. I'm joined today by Henry Wolf and another Max, Max Pearl.
Yep.
Well, or Pearl Man, actually. He messed me up earlier by letting me know I call him Pearl. So excited to be here. And just before we get started, Henry alerted me, because I had just awoken from a slumber, that Kershaw has officially retired. A long, fantastic career. Personally, I was a Kershaw fan growing up, and I think his career went a little bit too long, but we're not going to get into that. Just congratulations to Kershaw. Actually, we could get into that if you guys want to get into that real quick. Sure. I mean, it's Nosebleeds. We can talk about anything as long as it's baseball. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys? How do you guys feel about that? You know, retiring before the season's over, or announcing his retirement before the season's over. How do you guys? I mean, great career. Not one of the only starting pitchers that you could say was confident enough to throw seven innings and one in the first game of the series and then come into the third game of the series out of the bullpen and then throw 2 days later. So how do you guys feel? I'll start with you, Henry.
Yeah, well, I've always loved watching Clayton Kershaw pitch. And especially I always remember seeing that graphic of Kershaw versus Scherzer when Scherzer was on the Diamondbacks. And I think they were replacing, correct me if I'm wrong, Randy Johnson and, gosh, one of the other greats back then.
Maddox.
It was Maddox. Yeah, Greg Maddox.
When they were both rookies. Yeah. And, like, just since then, like, I'm looking at his career war. He's got an 80 if he has another start in the playoffs. But we don't see pitchers like him anymore. And he came out of where we were in a generation where pitchers would throw 270 innings in a year, like Lincecum and Randy Johnson. God forbid, and now he was that bridge, and it's kind of sad. Like, we're losing this generation.
No, I absolutely, yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you look at the 10-year peak, 2009 to 2018, you're looking at a 165 ERA plus with a little under 2,000 innings. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, might be the last pitcher to ever win an MVP, other than, like, Shohei Ohtani, if you count that. Probably going to be the last one. My dream scenario is that the Giants are 2.5 out of the wild card. The last wild card spot, the sixth seed. And Dodgers are the three. So if you line up a Dodger-Giants wild card series, I know has his playoff woes, but get Kershaw in there. I mean, you got it for the rivalry. That could be just an unbelievable way to go out. So I'll be rooting for the Giants from now on. Give me the Dodgers-Giants in LA. Be awesome. But yeah, special player. Also, one of the last guys to really, like, spin the curveball, kind of a dying pitch. So
that old 12-6.
Yeah, I mean, it's special.
One of the best pitchers in baseball, yeah, for sure. But kind of going to switch over to Bronx now, because this is a team where the people who are going to be listening to this definitely want to hear about. They're not doing bad, actually. They're doing pretty good. They're sitting at the top of the AL wild card right now, with the Red Sox kind of slipping, which is going to make a lot of Yankee fans happy. What do you guys think? I'll start with you, Henry. What do you think is going to be the biggest thing for the Yankees as they're obviously, I mean, hopefully, obviously, going to make the playoffs unless they were to have an atrocious 8-9 game ending of the season? What do you think they need to focus on going into the playoffs, especially since they're going to have to play a 3-game series? And then either play, depending where they end up, the Tigers or the Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Yankees don't have a lot in front of them at all. I'm an Orioles fan. They're playing the Orioles at home their last three games. I'll keep it PG.
They have the Orioles seven games of the last.
Yeah, I think
of the last 10 games
weekend,
they have
they're
seven
coming back. Yeah, but Aaron Boone. He's got to find a way to consolidate his pitching here. It really, like, I was at the game when they were playing Detroit, and They brought Austin Slater in the pitch when they were down 11-3. And guys, like, Boone started Caballero that game instead of Volpe, and obviously there wasn't a difference made, but Volpe went out the next game, made an error. The pitching, the out of the bullpen is just terrible. So I think Boone needs to either, one, have a pep talk, two, like, just, like, play some playoff baseball, which we all know is obviously different than regular season baseball, ditch some analytics, tell the guys to, like, you know, go call your own pitches. You know, Austin Wells has got you back there.
Yeah, it's also, I like that you said that, just because it has been a very rocky season for the Yankees, and I think every Yankees fan will tell you. I think surprised that they're at the top of the wild card right now, because, to be honest with you, whether it's nosebleeds, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's ESPN, whether it's Fox News, they're making it seem like the Yankees are about 18 games out of the playoffs right now. But I like what you're saying, because it's difficult on that last stretch when you need to win games, but you want to save pitchers, but you also want to give pitchers time and innings. And I think, I mean, no offense here, Henry, but the Orioles is a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Have the bullpen, get a couple more innings, and hopefully get some people like Volpe a little hot. But before we keep going, I need to ask, what is your team?
Oh, I am from Chicago. I'm a Cubs fan, but you will, I mean, I... So you might not.
All right, so Pearl's not going to talk the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
We shout out Rizzo.
Shout out Rizzo, though. That's for
sure.
Rizzo.
Yeah. Shout out Rizzo. Love that.
But yeah, how do you feel about the Yankees right now?
Well, yeah, I obviously, like you said, obviously all the media making it seem like it's a disaster every year, and obviously the Yankee standard is a little different, which is, it's funny to look at as an outside fan, you know, who hasn't seen their team make the playoffs in 5 years. But I mean, yeah, the Yankees, the lineup looks scary right now. All they got 9 guys, all with a. Like, they're starting 9, all over 100 WRC plus in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, Jason Dominguez, 200 WRC plus in the last 2 weeks. I mean, small sample. Aaron Judge, a modest 274.
Modest.
Yeah, 30% walk rate.
And if he's not walking, he's hitting a home run. Right,
yeah,
now,
pretty outrageous stuff. I mean, look, you got Fried and Rodon, and I mean, I don't even know who you want. You want to go Schlittler? You want to go Heel? You got guys to start games. I think that's really important. The Yankees have depth. They always have pitching depth. It's just like, can the depth perform? And I think that depth, especially when you get into the playoffs, pitching depth is just so crucial. You've seen teams win it, like 22 Astros, 23 Rangers. Maybe you don't know a lot of the guys, but just guys to cover innings. And the Yankees have that. I know the performance has been questionable, but they all have experience, at least.
Yeah, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree here.
Oh, wow.
The Yankees have depth, obviously, but games come down to bullpens. Like, Fried and Rodon not going into the seventh anymore. And when you have Tim Hill, Camilo Dovan doesn't have it anymore, Duval, Devin Williams, you don't hear that name.
I'm so happy he did anymore. That. So.
I'm glad. It's funny. It's a little – Devin Williams pisses me off, or makes me...
Well, but the thing is, with the postseason now, you only need 3 starters, and those starters, I feel like, are going to go as deep as you need.
Yeah.
And it turns into... And you see this very often. You see this where teams, near the end of the year, like we're talking, is they'll use a bunch of their bullpen near the end, and then once it gets to the postseason, it's, we're going to use maybe 3 guys, 4 guys out of the bullpen, unless the game's really getting away from them, and then they'll use their 3 starters, and that's going to be the 6 pitchers, 7 pitchers that are going to... I almost did it again. Mm. I almost did a 6-7 again.
Mm.
I do it so many times.
Scary.
I did it in a nosebleed, and they made a whole TikTok of it, so that was awesome. It's everywhere now. It's on almost every social media that WFUV has. There's a TikTok of me going 6-7. Not a great sign, but they will... I mean, it's baseball. You're going to say 6-7, but these pitchers have to go 6 to 8 innings if they're having a great night. So I like what we're talking about with the pitchers, but I think for the Yankees, I think their pitchers are going to step up, especially guys like Fried, who has the experience. I think Devin Williams, believe it or not, will step up because he has the experience. Not great experience, especially after last year. I think Luke Weaver will step up. I'm trying to think of who else I think is going to step up.
Weaver's their guy.
I think Weaver's going to be their guy this postseason for sure. And if he's not doing well, I mean, that's
Mark Leiter Jr., Cub legend.
No, Mark Leiter Jr. doesn't have it. And yeah. I feel like Boone needs to move these guys around. Like, they bring in Camilo Duvall, like, sorry, 6th or 7th inning after, like, that long reliever. And it's better because he was a closer in San Fran. But Devin Williams isn't a closer anymore. And, I mean, I said him earlier. Tim Lincecum, they moved him into the bullpen, and it revived his career for a little bit. They got to find a way to, like, mix the puzzle pieces around, because sometimes it just falls through when you have guys in too long of a spot.
I think there's something really interesting about the bullpens where you have closers not closing games. And you're seeing it with the Mets right now, a little transition, and Ryan Helsley. I think sometimes it can become an absolute disaster because you're throwing guys way off the routine. Ben Nardovall and even Luke Weaver from last year, and Devin Williams, obviously, those are guys used to all throw in the ninth inning. They've had a routine for years. You're throwing it off, and it's so understandable how of course it's falling apart right now. Like, what you're expecting these guys to do things that they haven't done since they were probably in the minors. Like,
yeah, that's actually a great segment. Yeah. I mean, look at this. Look at this guy right here. He should be doing. Sorry. He should be doing this more often.
It's
honestly,
Chicago blood.
All right, let's not go that far. But yeah, the Mets are on the opposite side of the wild card position than the Yankees, sitting in that last spot, two games ahead of the D-backs, which, by the way, another team that everyone will make you feel like is completely 18 games away from the postseason. But yeah, they have a pretty easy end to their season. They play the Nationals. They play the Cubs. Thing about the Cubs is, by that weekend,
you'd hope.
My Brewers should have clinched the division by that weekend.
Wow, okay.
So by that week, I don't think they're going to really be trying too hard.
No.
Because if I'm thinking correctly, Brewers need to win two games to clinch the division, and they're playing the Angels right now. So if they win those two games, the Cubs at that point have nothing to play for except playing baseball and get into the postseason.
The Cubs have a spot now, too.
They have a spot.
And they have a five-game lead on the four seed. So,
they're not going to change much. Yep.
Cade Horton and Matt Boyd need to take massive amounts of rest. They're going to need those guys going crazy deep into games if they want any chance.
And, yeah, I think the Mets are in a good spot there then, because they have the Nationals, who haven't had a great season at all, the Cubs, and then they have the Marlins. I will say the Marlins definitely like to spoil. The Marlins have actually been a much better team than people – I wouldn't even say – I think everyone's given them credit for being a great team this year. I would say just their stat lines, obviously their win column, and all of that is not great. But I would say the Marlins are a difficult team, and in division rivals and teams love to ruin other teams' playoff opportunities. And, I mean, I know the Reds are going to try and do that for the Brewers, so I know this is something that the Mets are probably excited about. But besides that, what do you guys think going in, and this time I'll start with you, Max, going into the postseason, what is something you think the Mets need to focus on? Or even, I mean, it's difficult because the rosters have expanded, and so expanded rosters, it's like you add two bats, you add like a guy who can run the bases, and then the pitchers you add are like more likely than not going to pitch. So, but what do you think is something they need to focus on going into this postseason, especially when they're going to have to go through a very difficult wild card, either playing the I think they'll be playing the Dodgers right now. So they're going to have to play. Is that what it is?
If it's
the
stands,
Dodgers
yeah.
should be the
if it stands, they're going to Dodgers are staying in that three spot. So yeah, they're going to end up playing the Dodgers, and then after the Dodgers, they're going to end up playing the. It depends. We'll see Phillies or Brewers.
Maybe,
so, but they're going to have a tough wild card. I don't see them going ahead of the Padres. So what do you think it is going into this series, hopefully going into this series, against the Dodgers? I don't want to jinx them too early for all the Mets fans out there, but Dodgers are a difficult team. They were injured most of the year. That's why they're not in first place, in my honest opinion. So they're now back and healthy for the most part. Do you think the Mets and Mets fans should be nervous about a series with the Dodgers? Or do you think that the Mets, of all teams, know what it takes to go into a home stadium where this team has been dominant all year and shock the world and do maybe what they did last year?
Yeah, I'm actually really fascinated because the Dodgers always get the bye. So I'm really interested to see how they set up their pitching in a three-game one. Like, I mean, Blake Snell, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, that's not going to be a fun time for any team. I mean, the Mets, Jonah Tong just threw a gem today, which is really promising. 8 Ks over 5, no runs, love that. I mean, they have just the absolute wild card. McClain, Sproat, Tong, Those guys are awesome. All of them are nasty in their own way.
All young, too.
And, yeah, all young. I mean, yeah, they just called them up. It's just – Mets season's been crazy up and down. I mean, Brett Beatty is on an absolute tear right now. The lineup is – I mean, look, they got Beatty, Alonso. They got Beatty, and which may be a little shocking, but Lindor and Soto absolutely doing their thing. 140 WRC pluses over the last 2 weeks. Love that. I mean, I don't know. They, Mets captured such magic last year that it's like, do you think they're capable of running it back? Kind of crazy going into the Dodgers, going into Chavez Ravine is not easy for anyone, especially with the Dodgers pitching, which is now actually healthy, which is crazy to see because that feels like it never happens.
I think the Mets have it.
Yeah.
And I look at their stats. Like, of course, Alonso is leaving in an average, but Soto's got 41 home runs this season. He's
Soto's
got a 33 season.
Yeah, Soto's been unbelievable.
Alonso also doing great. Lindor, amazing. As you said, Brett Beatty finally found his groove after this rough rookie season. They'll find it. I believe in Mets magic. As an outsider looking in from an American League standpoint, the Mets are probably my favorite team. I was born in Philly. I'm an Orioles fan. I live in Baltimore now. It's all right. Don't give me that look. But living in New York, I can't root for the Yankees. So, of course, I got to root for the Mets. And if they have to play the Dodgers, which they probably will, unless we see the Giants or Arizona come in and take their spot, which I don't think will happen, they have a chance. I think they take 2 of 3 from LA.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like I think they're getting comfortable in that position. Like last year they had a great first game in the wild card. Second game, they kind of got beat up a little bit. Third game, it wasn't going their way, and they were able to still come back and win that game against, at the time, probably the best closer in the NL. And so I think this isn't, for Mets fans, I would say the only thing Mets fans need to worry about right now isn't their first playoff series, it is making the playoffs. And yes. I think they're getting hot at the right time. Certain players are getting hot at the right time, like you guys are saying, Brett Beatty. But I think Mets fans, it's bad juju to look that far in advance, even though that's only a week and a half away. But I know I love that we're talking about the playoffs right now, because I want to give a postseason picture brought to you by the MLB website, which I love that they do that. I was looking up. I didn't know if this was legit or not, but it is, and they update it every single day. Fantastic. But right now, we'll start in the American League. We have the 6-seed Red Sox going to be playing the Astros, if everything stands, and then this has switched around a little bit. The Yankees are going to be playing the Mariners. So depending if the other teams switch around, I mean, before it was Astros, Yankees, which I think would be a great wild card series. And then you have the Tigers in the second seed, and of course the dominant Blue Jays in the first seed. And then going over to the National League, you're going to have the Mets in the 6th seed, playing the defending champs, LA Dodgers. And then we're going to have the Padres in the 5th playing the
Cubbies right now.
I didn't even want to say their name. I was hoping you guys were going to correct me there. And then obviously right now in the 2nd seed is the Phillies, and in the 1st seed is the miraculous Milwaukee Brewers. So I do want to talk, before we get fully into the playoffs right now, about this NL race for the 1 seed, which a lot of people, the 1 and 2 seed is, they both get byes now with this new playoff bracket, which I do think is great, because if you're one game off at the end of the season, and you, like, it's kind of sucks when you have to go play this team that maybe, like, I don't know. I just feel like having, being a 2nd seed, or even in this case, if the Brewers were to drop down into the 2nd seed, being the best team for at least a couple months, and then all of a sudden you have to go play in a wild card series, would be a little ridiculous. So I like that they're doing this. The only thing is it switches up the series a little bit. So right now the Cubs are going to be playing the Padres, which will be a very difficult series for the Cubs, if I will say myself. And I would rather have the Cubs, because I want to beat them in the LDS. Craig Counsell.
That's cute.
Need to beat him. But looking at the wild card right now, of these 4 wild card series that we have sitting now, the Astros and Mariners may flip a little bit, and the Red Sox may completely get out of there, if I'm correct. Yeah, the Astros.
Guardians are.
Yeah, really Guardians hot, are right there, really which hot. Is. I mean, I love yeah. to see that because yeah. they did not have a fantastic is season. Really, no one in that.
Right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides the Tigers, really, no one in that division had a good season this year. But what is the series you guys want to watch? Like, if you were like, I mean, you're a little biased.
Cause yeah, no, I'll
so
try.
Let me first go to Henry then. So, what is the series if you had to choose from these four that we're looking at right now? If everything ended today, what series are you gonna tune into? And you think is going to be the best wild card out of the four?
For NL?
For either.
For either?
For oh. for AL, NL, any of the four series that is about to happen in, I think, a week, 2 weeks time?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts right now regarding the AL East, but first of all, I have to agree with you. I love the playoff structure. It's much better than football, obviously. Like, that first seed, I'm a Ravens fan as well. And, dude, like, time and time
the football
again.
The football thing is terrible.
When you get 2 weeks off and everybody else gets a week off,
it's rough.
It catches up to you, and baseball's not like that.
Teams have had problems with the bye, though. I mean, yeah. It was just last year was the first time that, because you've had six seeds make it out of the NL in both 22 and 23, which was crazy. And
they beat the Brewers both times.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's what makes baseball, I think, yeah. better no, than football, though. Like, that's exciting to see versus football. You see the lower seeds playing right away, and obviously the higher seed's going to win. It's, like, scripted, whatever. I like to talk about the AL East a lot, and Boston is slipping, guys. I think Cleveland's going to take a spot from them, and especially if Boston keeps going down as they are, it's not looking pretty. Yankees fans are going to rejoice. I'd love to see Cleveland play the Yankees again. Future, that might not happen here, especially with the way it's
always have been
out.
Great series between those two.
Yeah, especially yes. with Toronto running the AL East. But I love watching Detroit, so Detroit-Cleveland would be really good. But and even the way it's shaping out right now, it looks like Houston or Seattle is going to take that spot. Guys, anything could happen. Shout out Barrett. I'd love to see Houston lose. So give me Houston, Boston. I know they're not in right now, but that would be electric. Or Houston, Cleveland. That would be electric. I want to see Cleveland make it.
So. Yeah, I think Cleveland is just one of those teams that when you know they're in the playoffs, no matter what their season was like, especially coming out of that AL Centrals, they're usually not much better than the other two teams coming out. But as soon as the playoffs start, as soon as postseason comes around, they're like a completely different team, especially against the Yankees. As soon as they play the Yankees, they become the best team in the world. They're hitting clutch home runs. Guys you've never heard of and weren't even paying attention to all season are hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. So I love what you're saying, because I think the Guardians, that's my team that I want to get in. Out of all the teams that are sitting outside right now, yeah. I want the Guardians in.
Give them a spot.
I want them. I mean, Red Sox, they've blown their chance several times this year, and I feel like to give it to be like, oh, like, I know Red Sox fans. I mean, Rogers lives in my house, but I can't watch any more Red Sox baseball. Every time I see it on the TV, I go back into my room, because I'm like, no one cares about the Red Sox.
And it's in classic Red Sox fashion, where they start really hot and slow down.
And then slow down. And then this year, they actually came back.
Yeah,
they came back for a while.
Sure, but they somehow make a wild card spot, and it's like, will they or won't they in the postseason? And obviously, everyone looks at 2004. I'll still look at 2004 and say, yeah, that was a little bit of luck in there. And I don't think they have it.
And I think another thing that would be interesting to see with the Red Sox leaving and the Guardians going is it would be a clear 2-2-2 split between all the divisions in the AL,
that's
which
healthy.
You don't see very often.
Never.
Like, especially you're looking, I mean, right now it's also a 2-2 split in the NL. So, I mean, you really don't see that very often.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back to previous playoffs. Not many times that there's two teams from the Central in either league being represented, especially I know that it helps a little bit with the new playoff, or we're saying new, it's been a couple years, but that postseason layout is much better. But I mean, to even have an NL, like NL Central team leading the league or leading the NL right now is unbelievable. And I do quickly want to go into that. I know we're kind of bouncing around, but it's a podcast. We can do it. We're not on time crunch, so. But Brewers Phillies, right? A lot of people. I was talking about this earlier. It's kind of one of those. By the way, I need to say. Actually, I need to say this real quick. I'm glad there's a Cubs fan in the room.
Oh, here we go.
Celebrating making the playoffs like you just won a divisional series or like a NLDS was insane to me. Insane to me.
I mean,
they're popping champagne. They're popping champagne. And like they already know the Brewers are going to clinch the division. Like I was like, I see this. The Brewers, you know what happened when the Brewers clinched? A single glass of champagne, couple of handshakes. Pat Murphy, good friend of mine, gave a nice speech. He is actually a good friend of mine. Known him for most of my life. But gave a nice, read a nice letter from Bob Uecker. It was a great moment. But they understood that they still need to win the division and they still need to get that first seed. So, all right, I just need to say that real quick.
Well, I need to retort here, I feel like. One, hasn't been, it's been really, 2020 doesn't count. So it's been 2018, they made the wild card after losing to the Brewers in a 163. So it's really been 8 years since they properly made the playoffs.
I mean, the God coach forbid, is getting paid the most players in the MLB get paid.
It's a good coach, man. It's symbolic.
Fireworks going off in here right now.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's been since 2017. They were. I forgot. Baseball's fun. I don't know. Justin Turner.
I know. I mean. I'm. I think the only reason I'm ragging on it is because it's the Cubs. Like if it was any other team, I'd be like, that's right. Like you had a good season. Way to make the playoffs, Sarah. I think it was just the Cubs. I just did think it was funny that they're still in a divisional race, technically speaking, and they were popping champagne, and getting crazy like they just won like the wild card series or even the NLDS. I was like, all right, like. You guys are going to have to either play the Dodgers or the Padres, and that's not going to be very fun. So, I do get why they're celebrating early, though.
Okay.
Yeah, and what was it, 2016 when they played Cleveland?
Yes.
2016. I mean, that's actually probably one of my – even though I've been a Brewers fan for a very long time, I didn't mind seeing the Cubs win there because that was such a good series.
It was Rizzo.
It was one of my, it was one of my Rushmores, and we had the one-on-one. I was like – Game 7, 2016 World Series. Yeah. Probably one of the best World Series games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I was up till 11. I'm in Arizona, so I was up till 11 p.m., 12 p.m. watching that game on a school night, nonetheless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I honestly forgot what we were talking about, to be honest.
Yeah,
I just had to
say
that.
Can we go back?
Wait,
I want to go back because there's one team I really want to talk about in the NL wildcard race, and this is my, well, they're in the NL, so I guess they can't be my favorite team, but probably my second favorite team in baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't know if people keep up with the season they're having. It is the games they play are absolutely absurd. There is, like, no bullpen. We're blowing saves every other game. This team needs to make the playoffs.
Just traded away their entire future on offense and defense and pitching.
No. They traded away guys with expiring contracts, but they still have two top 15 players in the league. Geraldo Perdomo is going to finish top five in NL MVP.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about here? It's outrageous.
And Carroll is a generational talent.
Carroll is a top 10 player. Ketel Marte, best second baseman.
When I see Arizona, I see Boston. Like, they're just teams that are slipping and don't have that playoff team. Like, there's that – you don't
they,
need
they don't
the
have the
players.
Team they had
you need the chemistry.
Couple years
they don't
ago,
have – they don't see that. I don't see it when you play.
I'm not – I don't even necessarily, like, care if they win or not. I just want them to make the playoffs because I remember when they played the Cubs. Go look at the box scores. There was, like, a 13-12 game in there. I just want to see some good baseball, and I know – because they'd probably line up with the Dodgers in a divisional matchup. I just know that would be absolutely electric. So, obviously, probably a lot of Mets fans listening to this maybe don't want the Diamondbacks in, but – anyone else, go watch the Diamondbacks play. Like, they're really fun to watch. Really rooting for them to make it in that sixth seed.
I mean, as a Arizonian, not a huge D-backs guy.
Yeah.
They're pretty boring to watch in person. Especially but right I do now. Agree. Recently, they have been great. As soon as they started making the trades, it's like, this team's done.
Yeah.
They're going to be gone for a couple years. I mean, I have one of my buddies, obviously being from Arizona, he's a diehard D-backs fan. He's like, dude, but all the rookies are coming up. Like, we're going to have so many good rookies.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's not how the MLB works. And he's like, worked with the Brewers. And I was like, Brewers are like
Orioles.
A not, like, I don't know how it's working. Yeah, it's like it worked once out of like the last, look at the Marlins. Marlins mostly rookies. It's like, doesn't always work, especially when you're in a division like the NL West, where it's like you're playing the Padres and the Dodgers. But I do agree. I do think they're awesome. I think Corbin Carroll is amazing. Ketel Marte, he's starting to figure out his clubhouse stuff, which was a big issue, because he was just very toxic, according to reports, in the clubhouse. But new reports are saying he's much better now.
Yeah.
And once he became much better, they were winning.
It took a little counseling for him, definitely.
I don't even think Hazen, who's the GM there, even talked to him.
Yeah, there was.
I think it was the owner talked to him.
There was a home invasion. It was some like it was a very
yeah. He was going
situation.
But it was even before that though. Yeah, it was like a lot of reports that he just is kind of a little toxic.
Yeah, no, I follow him on Instagram. He's doing better. If anyone wants to follow him on Instagram, it's a very fun Instagram story to look at.
All right.
Don't follow Kyler Murray though.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Keep it in. All right. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see the D-backs in, especially if somehow, I mean, it's very rare, but somehow they got all the way up.
I mean,
like the last couple games just got all the way up, and now they're playing the Dodgers. That'd be awesome.
No, I will say the core, it's not really different from when they made the World Series 2 years ago. I mean, obviously they trade away Merrill Kelly, who was amazing for them in the playoffs, but like the position,
Tommy John lineup is dang
near the exact same. So I don't know. I mean, I just think they're a fun team. I don't care if they win or lose. I just want to see them make it because I just want to see some good baseball in October.
If they kick out the Mets and have to play the Dodgers, I just see a blowout.
I mean, even if they play the Padres, that'd be a great series.
Yeah.
Because they're going to they'll probably end up playing the Padres.
Padres are slipping a little bit too.
Yeah, they've been struggling.
It's tough to watch these NL teams right now.
I mean, I will say this year has definitely been one of the best years of baseball.
Yeah,
I've been able to watch.
The balance is crazy. I mean, there's just no dominant team. It's gonna. I don't know. Like the playoffs are impossible.
The Brewers winning 100 games looks almost impossible now.
Well, and no team's gonna win 100 this year.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the Brewers win 7 straight. They won 14 straight at one point. But I mean, they probably won't because they're playing the Reds and
Cards.
Can we agree? Reds bad team. Don't like the Reds.
Elliot.
And not in the sense of they're bad at baseball. Just boo Reds. Can we meet on that ground? Cubs, Brewers, boo Reds.
I respect
Reds.
How the Reds have built their roster.
We can't meet
like,
on that ground. That's fine.
I'm more of it,
I don't. I don't like how they built their roster.
Really?
The Brewers played them when they were winning those four. They lost to the Reds. That's what ruined their 14-game series. Or it was almost 15. And I went on Twitter, and every single Reds fan was like, "You can't sweep us. We're the best team. You can't. Never been swept." And I'm like, dude, like, you guys are 16 games behind now.
Tell Ellie.
I'm like, you guys need to do so much better than not getting swept.
I have a real problem with Ellie. And I'm tired of Reds fans being like, "Oh, we have Ellie. We have Ellie." Dude, Ellie stinks.
Ellie's not terrible. Great. I mean, I don't know what you want to do with one player.
He's that guy when your GM's like, "This guy will be a generational talent." No. And he's like, "Okay, he's a generational talent." You watch him play. He's got all that
aura. It's like the same thing with the Cardinals, that shortstop on the Cardinals. Like, dude, he's literally going to be – he throws 105 across the diamond. Like, he's going to save our team. Cardinals have had, like, the worst two seasons they've ever had in, like, recent years. I'm like, dude.
Since when Wainwright and Molina retired together or something like that.
Dude, miss those guys, too.
Me too.
Everyone's leaving.
It's a new generation.
This is the theme of the podcast. Everyone's gone. It's all these young people who are my age.
It's a gateway playing
on
year, yeah.
Playing on the biggest stage while I'm sitting on my couch watching them. It's tough. I'm okay seeing it in soccer because it makes sense to me. I'm okay seeing Lamine Yamal score against France or England in insane fashion when he's only 18 years old. I'm okay with that. He's Spanish. He can do that. If another person plays in the MLB who's like 18, 19 years old, I'm like, dude, I mean, I'm sitting here talking about you, and I could say whatever I want about you. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like, you are still in the MLB, and I am on my couch.
It's a gateway year for the MLB. Yeah. I think this World Series, it'll be tricky. It's hard to tell who's going to win. I think Philly has it.
Once again, dude, you guys are just doing my job today and doing it much better than I am. We need to talk who we see right now. Because I feel like this is going to be a thing in every nosebleed till the end of the season and in playoffs. Who do you see the two teams and eventual winner of the World Series this year looking at what you see right now?
Yeah,
and it could be teams not in the playoffs.
Because I really love Philly right now.
I agree.
Moxie to them right now. Moxie's a great word to describe Philly. And Bryce Harper's on it right now. Kyle Schwarber can connect with the baseball and hit it so far. Their pitching is good. It's solid. They're going to cruise through the NL.
And they're also they're playing home for the entire postseason, or at least
the Brewers aren't making it to the CS.
I think, like, it's truly, like, they are such a hard team to beat.
Yeah. And on the other side of it, the AL, I honestly think the Yankees make it back. Detroit doesn't have the pitching, or they have an anemic offense most of the time. Seattle, Houston, Toronto, teams that are just average, especially when it comes to a playoff team. They're just an average playoff team. I'm not saying they're an average playoff team. And then Boston or Cleveland aren't going to compete with these guys. So as much as I'm making it sound like a cakewalk for Philly, they have what it takes to beat the NL teams and make it to the World Series. And the World Series is going to be their, like, it's going to be the icing on their cake for the season.
Yeah, they definitely, I feel like, deserve it at this point.
Okay. First, I'm going to refute Philly. No Zach Wheeler. I just don't know what we do with that, I'll be honest. I think that, I mean, Chris Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo, those guys are great, but I mean, Zach Wheeler in a game one, that's just a different level that I'm not sure those other guys can reach. Ranger Suarez, I like him, but Aaron Nola, absolute disaster of a season. A little worried about that. And I really, the lineup depth for the Phillies is almost non-existent, quite honestly. Harrison Bader is their second best hitter by OPS Plus, which is absolutely insane. I don't think that guy is going to be, I mean, nice career, but killed the Cubs forever, but not sure how that guy does against playoff pitching. Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, obviously you love them, but I think you need lineup depth in the playoffs a lot. And I like Bryson Stott, Real Muto, Castellanos. Those guys are all older, and it's just not the same as it was, like, their runs back in, you know, 23, even, or 22, 23. Don't love the Phillies. The team I really like out of the AL, which I think it's a very weak AL, so I do agree with your point that they are a lot of average playoff teams. I love the Mariners. I mean, that's Brian Wu, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. Like, oh my God. Brian Wu, I'm so excited for people to watch him in a playoff
stage. Have you watched his podcast? Or like videos? He'll like occasionally just like watch his own highlights and then just like critique himself on his own highlights.
It's like Bryce Harper watching his home runs. Wow. Crush that one.
But there's times where he like trips and he's like, such an idiot.
No, Brian, I mean, those Mariners pitchers are like just a different breed. I don't know if you know like George Kirby, that famous quote where he's like, in the offseason, I just throw into a nine pocket and listen to dubstep. Those guys, like the Phillies know, the Mariners know how to scout their pitchers. I mean, yeah, when Luis Castillo is like one of the worst, is one of like the least confident guys you're in, that's how you know you're just absolutely disgusting. They have who I think is the best closer in baseball, and Andres Munoz, absolutely just absurd performance by him this year. And I know Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor haven't been, you know, amazing since being acquired, but those are just guys who have amazing experience, and you love a veteran presence and some depth. I know that kind of contradicts Phillies with the Castellanos, Real Muto, but I just like those guys. Those guys are fun to watch for me. I mean, yeah, they've got, what, top three catching season ever. Julio Rodriguez, if the Mariners just told Julio Rodriguez it was summer all year around, he would be literally Mike Trout, which is so funny to me. And he was unbelievable in their 22 when they're going up against the Astros. Jorge Polanco, awesome bounce back year. Dominic Canzone just hit three homers. That guy's got a great swing. I love the Mariners. Out of the NL, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't go against my Cubs as much of a homer as I am.
No bias here, guys.
No bias at all. I mean, Cade Horton.
Pete Crow Armstrong is the best.
I don't know MVP. If you're familiar with what Cade Horton did for Oklahoma in the 2022 College World Series, but that is the whole reason they drafted him. He was going 100 plus pitches every game, absolutely shutting down teams. Oklahoma was not a regional seed that year, and they made it to the finals. Did lose to Ole Miss, but it's fine. That guy finds a different level when he needs it, as we've seen in the second half. Absolutely just dragged the Cubs to a respectable record, and now they're actually kind of finding the offense. I mean, yeah, the 2025 Cubs remind me so much of the 2023 Rangers. It is absolutely outrageous. Hear me out.
Wow.
Ace goes down, TJ, Jacob DeGrom, Justin Steele. Unbelievable first half. The whole core offensive core is firing. They kind of limp into the playoffs as a wild card, blowing the division to, you know, their rival. Rangers blew it to the Astros. Obviously, Cubs blew it to those lowly Brewers up north.
I can't even say you blew it. It was so long ago that it's not even a blow at this point.
Right. Well, there was like a 7-game lead in there at one point. Michael Busch just absolutely teed off on Paul Skeens. Absolutely unbelievable sophomore year for him. Pete Crow Armstrong, look, Pete Crow Armstrong is our Adolis Garcia, you know. I'm seeing the NLCS MVP. I'm seeing the electricity. I'm seeing the bat flips. I don't know. I just want this. I just need this team in the playoffs. Corey Seager's our Kyle Tucker. That's all. Yeah.
Okay.
Kyle Tucker's our Corey Seager.
Yeah. So
just get
yeah.
One sec. Yeah.
Before you talk, Max, yeah, you said the closer, Andres Munoz. Oof. You think? What about Chapman?
I mean, look. Chapman, obviously, he had the unbelievable, 55 batters.
Yeah,
Red Sox, we got to make the playoffs first. let's do that. But, yeah, no, I mean, I have fond memories of Aroldis Chapman. I guess one unfond one, but mostly fond ones back in 2016.
He was a Cub for a while.
Yeah, it was that half, won us the World Series. get Gleyber Torres, got traded in for Rolls Chapman. That won us the World Series.
Wow, Gleyber's been everywhere.
Yeah, and then, but no, Andrés Muniz, I mean, that guy, I remember I watched him because he's throwing 100 in like 90-mile-per-hour sliders. The command sometimes is questionable, but like Raleigh back there, he can literally just throw it wherever he wants and Raleigh blocks it. So like high leverage spots, he's just absolutely chucking the heck out of the ball and it just works every time. The stuff is ridiculous. He looks like Bob Gibson flying off the mound. It's so fun to watch. But yeah, I mean, Chapman, Munoz. Munoz has been doing it all year. So, I mean, Chapman's been good all year too, but Munoz, he's been like locked down for years and he's just really putting it all together. And that's not what you want to see in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree completely with you on both sides.
Oh, no.
I do have, for the AL, it's more of a feeling thing. I have the Tigers. I have them like completely bouncing around or bouncing back in just two seasons from being probably one of the worst teams in the league. I think having them in the World Series would just mean like,
yeah,
it'd mean a lot for baseball. By the way, I'm looking. It's ALDS by booking.com, which is crazy. I feel like the MLB could not have to do that. But and then on to the National League, I think it really depends if the Brewers or the Phillies get first or second seed. Both those teams have been absolutely dominant at home. Brewers have been unbelievable at home. Most of their wins come from comeback wins at home. The Phillies, I mean, they're just not. Like, they don't do comeback wins. They just blow you out of the water. So I do see, if I'm looking at that, I have the Padres beating the Cubs. I have the Dodgers losing to the Mets, and then the Phillies beating the Mets. I honestly have Brewers-Phillies in the... If it's flipped, I don't have that, actually. But if it's sitting where it's at right now, I do have Brewers-Phillies. And, I mean, I'm not going to... I'm going to say I want the Brewers to win. I don't really know what... Because now it's just I'm going to be biased going into that. But it's really just going to go down to pitching for both the Phillies and the Brewers. And I think as long as the Brewers put Miz in the bullpen instead of trying to start him, I think they'll be perfectly fine. So... I think that, though, is going to do it for us today. I am very happy I woke up in time for this podcast. So thank you for listening today. This was Nosebleed, a WFUV podcast and production. Thank you.